Mila. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Say something again because it was sounding a little low.
Is it low?
Say it again.
Can you hear me? Is it low? Is that a little better? Is it still low?
I hear you now. Okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. How are you today?
Let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest and transparent. This made my day.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Thank you for blessing my platform. But I really wanted to ask you, the first question is, do you even understand the impact that you as an individual has made on people like me? Do you even understand that?
Probably not. I'm grateful though. I mean, no, I'm super humbled. Thank you and honored to, gosh. I mean, I never know how to take that. Thank you so much. I'm grateful. That's just like a huge blessing. You know what I mean? Like to have had the opportunity to have people like yourself even feel like that. It's just like,
yes.
I'm like, really?
Really. And that speaks volumes to who you are as an artist, because you started creating music when you were still in high school.
Yes.
And we're grown and we're still singing the lyrics till today.
I know, which is crazy. I'm so grateful for that. Like, there's been like this whole resurgence, if you will, of like, I guess the 90s era. And so I'm just like, okay, I'll take it. Come on back. I'm grateful. Like, it's weird. It's a blessing because, you know, social media is interesting. It's weird. It's a different thing. It wasn't around when I was around. And so I have this love-hate relationship with social media. But it's so cool because it can do things like create your songs to all of a sudden go viral and all that type of stuff. And just kind of, I don't know, it introduces the younger generation, you know, to our music. I'm just grateful for all of that because it's been like 25 plus years. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And it's just crossing generations because I'm a 50-year-old woman and I have a 28-year-old daughter and we're both listening to Get It Together, Steelo. I'm telling you, you know, as I was preparing for this conversation, I said, you know, I was singing these lyrics when I probably didn't even know what they meant. For example, you don't know the pain that I feel. You're taking my love for granted and you just want to see it your way. Why was I singing that song as a teenager?
At a Marisol. No, you know, it's a funny story. It's funny you should say that because I was like 17. Irish, which meant LaMisha and I were like 17, which meant Irish probably was like 15. She's 2 years younger than us. It's so bizarre. We laugh about it now, but we say, you know, like when I sing it live, I always say that I'm like, I had no idea what I was singing about. And we literally recorded that song in the middle of the school year. We flew straight from Vegas right after school to a session in LA, and in between takes, we were doing homework. And Donnell Jones wrote and produced that record. And it took three days for us to complete that song, which was so simple in my mind. I'm like, this is such a simple song. And I thought I had done a great job, but I wasn't delivering how he needed me to, but there was a method to his madness. It's one of, but I think I was so young and hadn't had that experience that even though I may have sounded good, he needed that pain and addiction and that emotion.
Yes.
And I was frustrated. I'm like,
so as a grown woman, can you now relate to that song a lot better and differently?
Let me take my glasses off of this so you can see my face. Girl, look. I say that live too. I'm like, now I can I can sing it 10 times over, and unfortunately probably have been through this song.
Yes.
It's the worst. I'm like,
So you mentioned working with Donnell Jones. That's huge.
I love him. He's such.
Talk about the experience in the studio. So he wanted you to tap into your emotion a little bit more with the song Get It Together. Share another story working in the studio with Donnell Jones.
Okay. Oh, he's gonna kill me, but I have since told him this. I don't know if he remembers, but it was so bizarre initially because, we had never worked with him before. I was a fan, of course, but I didn't really know how he was as a writer producer. He had us, well, he what my let me speak for myself. My memory was, he had me, of course, redoing things over and over. I was used to that. That's fine. That's the process of recording. But he had an interpreter, like he had someone speaking to me as he whispered to me. He would link, I was recording, and then they what
What?
did, I know. I was so confused. I was, you're right there, buddy. Like, what's happening? But I love him.
I've heard that happens a lot, though, in the industry.
It was so bizarre. But you know what I've learned? That people who are geniuses, such as himself, they are a little different, you know, and it balances out. But I love him so much. So kind. He's out here in Atlanta where I'm based as well. So we run into each other from time to time. I ran into him recently a few months back for a we both were doing something for St. Jude's, for cancer for children. And he's always so just consistent every time I see him. He did an event for me back in the day for my foundation. Didn't ask me for anything, just showed up for me. And you know, I appreciate him. He said that, you know, the cause was near and dear to his heart, and he showed up for me and sang. I'm just like, this is what it's about, you know. It's like about paying forward, and we should be able to show up for each other in our time of need. And I mean, you I know, it's just, he's just a cool dude, you know. So I'm just happy to see him out touring and stuff again and getting the flowers that he deserves because he's really talented.
And I'm glad to see a whole bunch of artists getting the flowers that they deserve, especially you and 702. I just want to kind of rewind the time clock just a little bit because I know that as kids, we are always having these big dreams of becoming someone. Did you become who you thought you would be when you were dreaming as a kid?
Yes and no, because although I loved to sing as a kid, I've been singing since I was 7. That's the first time I sang on a microphone, which was in church, in the church choir. It was like my first solo at like 7 years old. So I learned then that I really enjoyed singing and that I maybe had, you know, a knack for it, you know, if you will. I'm not half bad at this. But I never knew if I wanted to necessarily be like a big music star. I just knew I wanted to do something on television, or something in broadcasting or journalism. I wanted to go to college because I saw my sister go to college. She went to an HBCU, so I was living vicariously through her. But then 702 happened. But I just always knew I wanted to do, my mom, may she rest in peace, she just passed in October. She would always tell me that I always told her as a little girl, I'm gonna buy you a big mansion and I'm gonna be rich. I don't remember saying, I don't remember the same areas, but I guess I always knew I wanted to do something great. I had no idea it would lead to this with 702. Absolutely not. I was always a one-man band. I sang throughout elementary, and my mother had me singing all throughout Vegas. As a young girl, I performed all kinds of talent shows and fashion shows. I would model and sing. See, my mom just had me pretty active as a young girl. Once we realized that I did have talent, she didn't force me to do anything, but I enjoyed it. But I wasn't certain. But I also was good in school, so I wasn't certain that I wanted to be a big singing star. No, I wanted to go to college, and I wanted to do, like I said, broadcasting or journalism or be an attorney.
So then when did life take a shift where you said, you know what, I want to do this professionally, and who helped you make that transition to singing professionally?
So let's see. I went in the studio for the first time when I was like 13, like by myself. I went in the studio and recorded a demo. I think I recorded Whitney Houston's Miracle, and I got frustrated, much harder than I thought. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I quit at like 13 for like 5 seconds. So then, right. So I got to high school, which was like a year later. A year or two later, I realized I really do enjoy singing. All the stuff at school, you know, the black people, this and that. Then by the time I got to a junior in high school, I switched schools. I changed over to a performing arts high school, which is where I met my other two bandmates, Lamisha and her sister, Irish. And they had just, they were already signed to Motown. And we were so proud of them. Like, all of us at the school were so like, oh my gosh, we got stars at the school. Like, they were on, no, they're legit. No, they were on BET with Donnie Simpson. No, they're really famous. Mm-hmm. And Bannister, you know, a group of us, we were so happy for them. And then all of a sudden, they were doing, like, I guess, some group shifting and member changes. And I auditioned. They asked me to audition. I auditioned. And, yeah, I guess sort of kind of, not really, but sort of kind of, you know, the short and the story, the rest is history.
So wait a minute. So they were already in a group, Lamisha and Irish. They asked you to audition. You now joined the group. But how did you become the lead singer then in somebody else's group?
Oh, so that was not, I don't think that was on purpose. That actually happened, I think, by default, unintentionally. I do realize that, I guess the executives realized that I had a particular sound, maybe. I was for me, you know, I had to come in and
I don't see you, and I can barely hear you. I don't know if you're on a phone and someone's calling.
No, I shouldn't be. Hold on.
Yeah, I don't see you.
Can you?
I hear you, but I don't see you.
Hold on.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening.
That usually happens. Is someone calling?
Oh, so just so you know, I told Brandon. No, I don't. It shouldn't be. No, everything is blocked. Or at least I thought. Well, I turned everything off.
Yeah, I still can't see your picture.
Brandon, difficulties earlier. I don't know if he told you. Did I tell you that earlier, Brandon?
No, I didn't hear you. You told me.
That's so strange. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's happening.
I don't know.
I see you, but
you said you told Brandon what?
I was having technical issues earlier. I had no Wi-Fi for hours. We had an outage in my area.
Oh, wow. You know what? Can leave the studio and then try to come back in.
That's what I'll do. Yes.
That's what I'll do. I'll remove you and then you come back. Okay. So technical difficulties, it happens in podcasting. So this is another podcasting tip. Just get through it. Just keep on talking. So that's like really an aha moment for me. I didn't even know. So Mila, minding her own business in high school, she sees two girls, Lamisha and Irish, starting a group, and they are successful. They are reorganizing and adding more members to the group. They ask her to audition. She does. And then she joins the group. 702 becomes 702. Record label executives realize that she has a voice, talent, and makes her the lead singer. That happens so often in a lot of groups where when they start the group, everyone thinks that they are going to be on the same playing field. Okay, you sing this verse, you sing that verse. Okay, you got two verses, I'll get two verses. That's how a lot of groups initially start. And then something happens and then one of the members are pushed into the forefront and then it causes dysfunction and tension amongst everyone. Okay,
about
let's
that.
There you go.
Okay. There you go. Right, again. Sorry about that.
So you were talking about the record label pushing you to the forefront.
Right, pretty much. So yeah, when I joined, so initially, you know, it was a four-girl group, a quartet, and then I joined and Michael Bivins decided to just only keep myself. Myself and another girl auditioned together and we both were kind of like, you know, in this, gosh, it was like a boot camp, if you will. And we had to audition to make sure that it made sense, to make sure we were the right fit. But he ended up just keeping me and making it a trio. So by the time I was the only one that had joined the group, I needed to now get on these songs that were already recorded before I joined to add me, you know, just to add me. So I think initially the plan was to just bring me in as a, to help, to assist with lead vocals, just kind of bring in more additional lead vocals so it wasn't just all on one person. But then I came in and then I just started leading the songs. They put me on like just a background first, and then of course I would come in and like split the difference between LaMisha, who was already on the vocals, the leads, and she mm-hmm. she'd take one, you know, they leave her on one or whatever, and then I'd come in and sing the other part so that there was an introduction of this new girl. But mm-hmm. ultimately it just like went from me being on just one verse to okay, one verse and a bridge to okay, both verses right. and a bridge, okay, the entire song. And it didn't always happen that way, but more often than not, that's what just the producers and the executives ended up just going with. I think, I mean, looking back now as an adult in hindsight, I think I just had a sound, a radio friendly sound that they just were, I guess, keen, what is fancy. They fancied it, and they were just very, it was something that clearly they were looking for. I don't know. I didn't listen. I was just trying not to get replaced. I'm like, I'm coming in as a fill-in. So everybody's replaceable in my mind. Okay. So right. It was like, I'm just doing my job. But, you know, unfortunately, it definitely took its toll on the group, you know, because there was just all these different dynamics and different, you know, we were young and different feelings, and everybody was just kind of not understanding what was happening. And I'm sure there were things that we weren't being told, and, you know, goodness, it's a shrewd business, you know. But at the end of the day, though, that's what it is. It is a business. And at that time, it was kind of like, let me just shut up and do as I'm told, you know. Now, of course, as a whole grown adult, I definitely would have, you know, asked more questions or challenged yeah. things, or, you know, maybe done things a little differently. But at the time, I'm just like, oh, okay, I just got here. Okay, I got to sing this. I got to sing that. I'm just singing.
right. But that's so good that now as an adult that you can kind of look back and learn those lessons so that you can now show up better in the absolutely. Music industry. But do you find, we see this happening a lot when it comes to groups. So do you find that when groups are dismantled, do you mm-hmm. find that it is because of the record label, or it's because of the nuanced difficulties of people just can't really work together?
It could be. I think it's a little bit of both, you know, because we started out, first of all, I always say, let me just put the disclaimer out there that we had way more great times than bad, but it was not an easy road for me, you know. I went through a lot. I went through a whole lot, actually. But thankfully, you know, now we can talk about it. You know, that's so old and water under the bridge, and we've matured and we've forgiven and all of that good stuff. You know, I'm sure I wasn't the only one who went through things. I mean, we all have our own stories and experiences. But unfortunately, I do feel like it's a little bit of both, because on the executive side, like I just explained, you have the record label just kind of telling you, hey, this is what I need you to do. And then when you're with your counterparts, you guys have to have one mind, body, and soul and be like joined at the hip. You know, you're not really allowed, when you're in a group, to have any individuality. Mm-hmm. And when you do, you stick out like a sore thumb. And that's not the purpose of being in a group back then anyway, you know? So it's just kind of, it creates this tension and like this weird synergy or lack thereof, you know, and there's like animosity that just naturally happens over time, you know, especially when you're developing and becoming a young woman and there's adolescence and, you know, and you're really still trying to find yourself. And, at the end of the day, you're like, I'm just, you know, you want to just do what makes sense in your mind, which is your job, right? But that's going to create discord and dissension and just naturally jealousy, you know, because one is looking like, well, if you're singing all the parts, and then that means you get more face time or whatever the case may be, you know, you just start feeling away. But I mean, listen, I was the lead singer, but I never felt like it, you know, aside from using my voice, because right. And I didn't have that type of attitude. But looking back, I mean, now I'm like, darn, maybe if I would have had that type of attitude, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe we could have went further. Who knows? But I was never a mean girl. And I hate to say that, unfortunately, you know, nice girls finish last. So, mm-hmm. And this is not to play the victim or be like, I'm all perfect. Absolutely not. We all had, a contribution to the ultimate demise. But I came into a situation that was already, you know, established, a situation that was a family, mm-hmm. originated group, and it just wasn't always the easiest. And then I come, and like you say, here I come out of the blue and become this lead singer. It's like, you know, how dare she, you know? So, and then naturally stuff like that, that's going to naturally create, you know, some drama down the line. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But listen, I told them since then, I'm like, listen, I get how you guys felt, or how, you know, I can admit that. Like, I get how, if it was the other way around, I'm sure I would have been the same way. It's just a difference in how I probably would have approached it. But, you know, we all have different personalities, but it's okay. Things happen. The great thing is we got great classic songs out of it. You know what I mean? We got some hits out of it. Yes. And the music is still going. So I'm happy about that. And the fact that we are good now, like, that's what really matters, you know?
Yes, yes. And the numbers don't lie. Those numbers really, really solidify 702 as legendary artist and group. Was there ever a point in time where you and LaMisha and Irish felt like the industry didn't give you the recognition that you deserved?
No, I don't feel like that. You know, I just talked about that yesterday briefly on my live, which I never go live, but I just felt, I don't know, I was like, why not? Because I was already up.
Really?
I was already up, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So I was like, oh, I'll go live. I had just done another interview. So I went live, and the word underrated came up. And that word is, I get that word a lot, you know, whether it's in interviews, whether it's a question posed as a question, or whether it's from a fan, or just in general in conversation. And, you know, I don't know. I don't feel underrated. I feel like what was supposed to happen for me happened. You know what I mean? I feel like the road, maybe I took some left turns, you know, when maybe I should have gone right. But in my mind, and not to get all deep, but I always feel like, hey, God knows what one can handle. And I don't know that I was supposed to achieve, you know, an even higher level of success than I already have. I don't know that I would have been able to handle it. You know, so I'm like, this was just my fate. Yeah. And it just, you know, to me, like, you're like, how you started out with, you know, are you aware of the impact? It's like, I know, because the music is still going, that we were effective, and how much is sampled today, that, you know, we did our job. But I think it's just how I was raised, and just me trying my best to really stay grounded and humble, that I just don't allow myself to get a little, you know, aside myself. Maybe I don't realize the impact, because maybe, as you just said, maybe we weren't on acknowledged enough. But I don't look at it like that, because I think there's so many things that we have accomplished and that we were acknowledged for, that I'm okay with everything. Like, I'm kind of like, so all of this is still so surreal to me. It's so old now, but it's still so surreal. And when I'm reminded about, you know, things like Good Burger and the Stuart Little soundtrack, and, you know, things that are just random, but that were pretty awesome to be a part of, you know what I mean? And, you know, of course, the legendary, for the kids who remember back in the day, the Cousin Skeeter, and being a part of that whole, you know, Nickelodeon Good Burger situation. And I'm just like, those things are things that I can, you know, recant and tell my family, my smaller, you know, the younger generation about. I would say my son, but he, you know, he doesn't care. But you know, but those, like you know, my niece, she's older now. She just graduated college, but she's, you know, she comes from that era of the Cousin Skeeter and, you know, the programs that were on when she was really little. And I'm just excited that I can say, or some things she wasn't privy to. She was much younger, but Netflix, you know, is now running, like, say, Moesha. And if you blinked, you missed us, yes, but in Sister. But hey, if you turn that on and you happen to, you know, just watch it and binge it, you might see your aunt. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, things like that are really cool to me. You know what I mean? Yes, we know there are a plethora of things that could have been way more substantial and way bigger. Absolutely. But, you know, I'm not too mad at the things that we did accomplish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just try to look at it. I guess what I'm saying, my final point is just I've gotten to a place in life now where I'm truly grateful. And I've always been grateful, but I'm to the point now where I'm like looking at life and just things as, you know, not empty, you know, and the silver lining, which is like, do you understand how many millions of people in the world strive to be famous singers? And God chose little old me, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
I'll take it. I will take it.
But you know, out of everything that you said, what really resonated with me and what has been proven to be true, your humility and you're grounded and you are spiritually connected. And I'm a firm believer too. That's why I was smiling throughout everything she was saying is whatever God has purpose for you is purpose for you. And we just can't be like, well, why didn't you give me this? He gave you such a plentiful career and life that we just have to say thank you for what you did give me because you chose
That's it. And I'm not going to lie to you. I went through a phase. Don't get me wrong. I'm human. I definitely went through a phase probably in like my 20s where I was feeling like, dang, you know, like, why aren't we doing that? Or why can't I do that? Or I could do that. Or, you know what I mean? I went through that for a second for sure. And felt like, well, I want to be on that scale. But I had to ultimately really understand that I had a larger purpose, which was my son. You know, I prayed and asked God not to, I said, look, God, I want a son. Please give me a son. Boom. Okay. You're having a son. And I'm like, oh, also God, please don't let him have autism. Like I literally prayed for that specifically. God, please don't let my son have autism because it was like, it was really prevalent. It was growing and growing and it was becoming more popular. And I'm just like, I know boys, it was kind of new to us, but I knew that it was like, for whatever reason, just more prevalent in boys. And I'm like, oh, and by the way, please don't let him have autism. And, you know, I'm sure God chuckled and, you know, I was mad for a minute. I'm like, didn't I ask you not to, you know, but it was like, I realize now that there's just a greater design for my life, you know, and having a child on the spectrum has completely shifted and saved my life because had I gone any higher on the scales of what folks think 702 could have or should have, or even Mila could have or should have done, let me tell you something, Simon, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you.
I don't know
where I would be. I'm just saying, like, I'm so grateful that I'm in my right mind and not somewhere strung out and not somewhere, you know, gosh, do you know the accessibility of all the crap out there at such a young age?
Yeah.
The narcotics, the drugs, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as they say, my God, today. Like, I feel like he snatched me out, like, real quick. Like, okay, let me keep her balanced. Like, let me, I'm going to continue to bless my daughter, but let me just pull her on in because. I mean, I probably could have been, if it wasn't for my mother and grandmother's prayers, I probably would have been a wild child.
Yeah. You know, I say the same thing when I found out, a few years after my daughter was pregnant, I think when she was a teenager, I looked at her and I said, she saved my life. Because had I not given birth to her, I probably would have been this wild child woman.
I'm telling you, I was on my way. I had my son at 31. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 30 when I got pregnant. And so, yeah, like right at 29, I was just wilding out.
When I got pregnant, I was a senior in college about to graduate. And, you know, college life, you are really out there.
That baby grounded me.
But you know what? And on two occasions during this conversation, you introduced your mother. You started talking about your mother. And in preparing for this conversation, I was like, oh my gosh, that's something that we have in common because I recently also lost my mom.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my goodness.
But I wanted to take the opportunity because I'm always thinking of ways of making sure that my mother's memory lives on. And I see her memory living on in the way that I interact with my daughter. Mm-hmm. What subconscious ways do you find yourself mothering your son and you're looking at him like, my mother used to do the same thing to me?
It's a little bit of everything. Oh, gosh. Yes. I mean, First of all, I know if he could really talk, bless his heart, I know he, I'm sure he lets me have it in his head all the time. I know I get on his nerves without a shadow of a doubt. I constantly nitpick and I just can't help it. You know, I'm wiping his face constantly. I'm making sure he's got, you know, moisturizer on his elbows. It's just every little thing. I'm like, Lord, let me leave him alone. I can't even help it. And my mom was the same way. She wasn't as, you know, in my face like that, but she was very vocal and, you know, she was very maternal. Zach was like her baby. I'm like, Ma, you know, I know you, I know that's definitely your second, your third child that you never had, but I'm like, Grandma, like, I got it. You know what I mean? I'm like, I got it, Ma. Now let me do, you know, it's Grandma. So I'm like, okay. I see so much in myself for my mom. Like, initially, you know, I would try to like downplay it or deny it. But I mean, first of all, I look just like her, so I'm a twin, especially when I put my glasses on. So it's scary. Sometimes I'm looking like, oh my God, I look like that lady. And it's like, which is a beautiful thing. It's just a trip, you know, genetics. Yeah. But it's funny because LaMisha just recently told me, she said, gosh, I see so much of your mom in you now, because I was always the one in the group that was kind of quiet. Wouldn't speak up, scared to speak up. LaMisha never had a problem speaking up. She was always bold and vocal. And that's my mom was that way. No filter, you know, just.
My mom too.
Listen, just say whatever. Just not taking it, like unapologetic about it, you know?
Yes.
And so now I finally have that. It took me 40 plus years to get there, but I finally have that, that being that strong woman who is unafraid or unapologetic to speak my truth and to just, and not, this is not to be disrespectful to anyone in any way, but to finally, especially in business, in a male dominated business, be able to say, no, I'm not going for that. Or no, I don't like that. Or no, I refuse to do that. It took me a very long time to get there. And I'm finally there. And so it's so funny. Yeah, LaMisha just told me that the other day at one of our other shows, she was just like, gosh, I see Miss Marianne and you. She's like, I'm so proud of you.
You know, I'm finding since my mom transitioned, now when I look at myself, I'm seeing a lot of my mom and me as well. This is how the legacy and the memory lives on. So I just wanted to create a space here to let your mother's memory live on.
Thank and it's
so crazy because as I spoke at my mom's funeral, that was the title of it, just being unapologetically Black. True definition.
Look at that.
My mom. Yeah, so we definitely have something in common. But you know, successful singer, businesswoman, we are told that women can often have it all, but it also comes with sacrifices. As a successful woman who is also a mom, what sacrifices have you had to make?
Oh my goodness. So one of the main sacrifices I've made intentionally was just, you know, kind of putting my career on the back burner and just kind of choosing things here and there that I'll be a part of or that I'll do and focusing on my son, raising my son. Because although my mother moved here to help me with him pretty much from the time that he was born or like when he was a really small child, I still would make certain that I made time for my son, that I made certain that he knew that I was mom. And, you know, even though my mom, like, she held it down, of course, grandmas don't mind, but I never wanted her to, first of all, I'm like, that isn't her responsibility. She's here to help you, not to, you know, take your place. You know what I mean? So I would make sure that there was a time when I was going to the studio every night, gosh, at like, I don't know, after I picked him up from school and after like maybe homework, and dinner, I go to the studio until like 4 a.m. and got home, got a few hours of sleep and was there to take him to school. That was my job, not my mom's. She would if I wanted her to, but I would never, that wasn't her responsibility, you know? So, and that happened for like a whole year straight. However, there were things that I just put on pause. I always tell people, I was having this conversation the other day. I always tell people, I say, listen, when I realized that my son needed me as much as he does, I slowed all the way down. You know, I stopped running out, you know, trying to catch every audition and running out, trying to be a part of you know, every event here in Atlanta, because you know, in Atlanta, honey, we have, Lord, every day is an event. They have some, it's something every day. Everybody has a red, blue, white, green, pink carpet. It's always something happening in Atlanta. And I did that for a while and I got burnt out and I realized, I'm like, listen, this isn't even me anymore. It just doesn't even make sense. So I put a lot of things off and just chose to just focus on my son, to really be that mother to him. So now I'm back to work now. You know, with 702, and we toured for a while from like 2017 to 19, right before COVID. But I slowed all the way down intentionally because I had to be there for my son. Because his dad is also in the industry and we both travel so much, but I'm like, one of us has to be his parent. You know, he didn't ask to come here.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in that. And so I chose to, you know, just kind of fall back a bit and
you kind of changed it over. Your child's father is Music Soul Child, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he's always busy as well. And so, you know, we try to do our best at balancing, career in raising Zach, co-parenting together, but it's not always easy, you know? But we've done a pretty good job of maintaining, you know, the friendship and being able to sometimes still work together and still raise Zach. So sometimes, like when my mother was still alive, we were able to travel together and do things together. But overall, like, you know, he understands what I do for Zach and he appreciates it so much. Like, he knows that I go hard for Zach. Like, he knows that I'm sure he tells me, okay, I'm a little too overbearing. I know I am, but
me too. It's okay.
I'm clean. I can't help it. He's my only child. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm only like, have one. I love on her every single day.
Can't
I
can't help it.
I just walk by and touch her.
Yes. And my son now is 14, so he's like a moody, I'm about to go to ninth grade. Freaking,
ooh, I pray for you.
High schooler. And those vibes, it's like, that attitude is a mess, but I don't care. I still grab him and hug him and kiss him. But yeah, his dad just looks at me and he shakes his head like, oh my God, my poor son. But he appreciates it though, because he knows,
sure he does.
He knows that I could very well just throw him off on someone, you know, and go hard in the paint to be this ferocious artist as well. But I've chosen not to even do that because I have a lot of mom guilt. I'm like, I can't do it. And I mean, we talk about bringing him with us. So eventually he's just going to be on the road with mom and dad, which makes the most sense probably anyway.
Right.
Because we just want to have our eyes on him since my mom is no longer, you know, here. You know, I'm just so overprotective. So it's just like, well, I guess you just got to come with me and daddy.
I get it.
It's terrible. Know,
no, it's not. I love it. Keep on doing it. Love on your children. Let me tell you,
because
life is too short. This space that we're in is scary to me because people are here today and then gone by tonight. It's scary. So love on Zach as much as you can. And another way that you chose to love on Zach, you penned a children's book in honor of your son, Zach. Zach's favorite socks. Talk about that.
I'm so excited about that. It was something that, so I always kind of wanted to do something more for children other than just music. And so I'm like, what else can I do? You know, I established the foundation. That's okay. That's cool. It's like not okay like that. That's more than okay. It's awesome. It's nonprofit work. And so that was just really to raise awareness. So I was like, okay, but now what else can I do creatively, you know? And so I love rhyming books, you know, like Dr. Seuss, Cat in the Hat. I love rhyming books. I always have. So I was like, well, I'm going to write a rhyming book. So Zach loves collecting books. He has tons of books, but he does not like to read them. He just likes to look at the pictures and he doesn't even like me to read them anymore to him when he was smaller. But, you know, as we said, he's 14 and moody. So he'd be looking at me like, don't touch my books, leave them where they are and don't try to read them to me. He's so funny. But I was thinking like, you know what? I think it'd be really cool to add to his collection, like a book that his mom wrote, that mommy wrote, you know, and this character is based on him. I want it to be a series. I'm going to do another one. And it's really just to kind of introduce autism. I didn't really speak about it in this book specifically yet, but I want, and this character actually is verbal, you know, so it's kind of the opposite of my son. But as we know, autism is a broad spectrum. So I want to, you know, do another one, a continuation and kind of like a series, and then another children's album to kind of go alongside it. And, you know, just something to hopefully create for other parents with kids on the spectrum or just special needs children who mm-hmm. enjoy hearing books, who enjoy reading books, not like my son, but who could be like my son, who just likes to collect them and keep them in order and systematic order. Yes. But it makes me feel so good that I did it.
This is so necessary, Mila. Let me just tell you, this is definitely going to leave another one of your footprints in this life. What most people don't know is I'm also an educator. I've been an educator for 20 plus years.
Thank you.
Director of my high school, working with special needs children.
Oh, thank you.
And the lack of awareness that's out there, it is staggering that these concerns or developmental delays in children, it didn't just start yesterday, but the information and resources are so limited that parents don't really know how to tap into it. So you have just really, really helped another population of people and you don't even know it. So I need to tell you.
Well, thank you.
That you are helping people. I went to my school. I work at a high school. I went there and I said, listen, if you have any small children, please join this organization called Proud.
Oh,
here is information, resources that you need. Someone who looks like us.
Yes, I know. It's mind blowing. I'm still learning every day, you know, but what I have learned in my 14 years of dealing with this with Zach, it's ever changing. You know, they change as they get older. Sometimes they make progress. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they make progress and then regress. And then, you know, it's a daily back and forth, you know, with children on the spectrum. But as you mentioned, even if they're not on the autism spectrum, there are developmental delays, which constitute to learning disabilities, which equate to IEPs. And we don't all know our parental rights, and we don't all understand, you know, what we can add or subtract from these IEPs, these individualized educational plans for our children. We have the right. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning, but I know that there's a lot of times, especially like you said, folks that look at, like us, we get overlooked or we get, you know, hushed as the parents. They just want to, you know, they just want to move on and get your child through the day, and they don't feel like taking the time out to really get to the bottom of what it is that your child's strengths and or weaknesses are that will help them to have a more helpful, calming experience while they're at school. You know what I mean? Like, it's stressful for those babies.
Yeah.
My son is not severe, but he's not mild either. You know, he's out here. I don't know about in Vegas or where you're in Vegas, right? Yeah. I don't know about how. Oh, okay. Why did I think? I just swear everybody's from Vegas. Okay. I know it's different everywhere. Here in Georgia, there's different levels. So he's like ASD 2, level 2. And so he's not fully dependent on an adult, but he's not fully independent, you know, he's not fully codependent, but not fully independent. So he still needs a lot of help, but he's come a long way, but we're still having to, do so many things. He's 14, but he still has to be prompted for a lot of things, most things, you know, and he still is developmentally in terms of his comprehension on a maybe third grade level, maybe depends. So it's interesting to say the least of how these educational institutions, you know, they marginalize our special education children.
Yeah.
And we don't have a large voice.
Mm-hmm.
In Georgia, though, I will say the reason I am still here is because they do offer a lot for children on the spectrum and for special needs kids. There are a lot of great programs out here, and they are free. We've never been in a tuition based school, and I'm shocked to even say that out loud. But that's how God works, because I didn't even know how much I was gonna be, and I ended up living right around the corner. I moved here from California, and literally right around the corner from my house is this regular elementary school, just a normal elementary. But they had a program for pre-K kids who were not diagnosed with autism yet, but were just developmentally delayed mm-hmm. for 3 and 4 year olds. Who knew? And my child was, you know, we hadn't mm-hmm. even gotten diagnosed yet, but mm-hmm. he could go to this elementary school right around the corner at 3 years old because he has some delays. And I was doing research and I realized, I'm like, oh, I'm in a whole cluster where the elementary, the middle school and the high school that he'll be going to all have special education, but all have courses for children on the spectrum from K through 12. And the curriculum is great and it's in a great area. And I was just like, how did that happen?
But I'm telling you, but you bring up a very good point, because I had to do the same thing when my daughter was a little bit in elementary school. I had taken her out of private school, but I always wanted to move to a neighborhood or area that had resources for free instead of paying this tuition. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's available. People just have to do research. So I just mm-hmm. wanted to, you know, just make sure that I magnify that point to parents out there who are looking for services for their children. Oftentimes you don't have to pay for it. Do your research. It is there. They just don't want us
it
to
takes
find
time.
Out.
They don't. It you have time. To be diligent.
Yeah.
It takes time, and it does get overwhelming. It does get tedious and tiring and frustrating for parents, especially if you're a new parent. You know, when I was a new parent, gosh, I had there's no guidebook for any of us, but you know, I'm just like Googling and researching. And sometimes you do have to dig deep to find those grants and those scholarships, you know, for maybe the schools that are tuition based, because hey, maybe there isn't anything in your area that's free and or that is, you know, conducive to the betterment of your child's development. So maybe you do have to go somewhere where you have to pay. But gosh, man, it's really so layered. It is, because they're all so different, and all of our children need different things. I know, like in my son's school, they do, you know, autism, those who are like advanced, you know, like my son is not high maintenance, not high functioning, high maintenance. I'm thinking about his mother. Sorry. just kidding. High functioning. But they have like all different levels. And then they have kids who are Downs, you know, with Down syndrome. They have that, their program there as well. It's just really cool, man, to see the breakdown. They offer all the therapies, but like with my son, it's cool that they offer therapy at school, but he needs more therapy, you know? So I have to go outside of school and do both and do the private therapies as well. Just do your research. If you can get on state funded, you know, things in your state and cities or what have you, like Medicaid, like, yes, apply for all of those things. Don't be ashamed to do it. You know, It's our children's rights, and they can have these things. They can have what's due to them. Like I had to learn that the hard way, like the social security and all that type of stuff. You know, I had a woman tell me, she told me at therapy, she said, I'm going to be honest, we don't know about these programs. She was a Black woman, and she said, I probably shouldn't be saying this to you because I work here. She said, but I see a lot of white families and parents come in who are well-to-do, and they get all this help. Mm-hmm. You know, they apply for these certain waivers and these certain things, and they get these, you know, all of these special, just different types of programs that they get, like discounts and, you mm-hmm. know, all of these different, and it's sad because those families that do really need these types of resources and help, we either don't know about it or we just give up so easily because they do make it hard sometimes.
Yeah.
They do.
So if people aren't able to find resources on their own, I do want to point them in your direction, your organization, PROUD, which stands for Parents Reaching Out to Understand Developmental Delays.
Yes.
How can they join?
So right now, PROUD is just, PROUD has a Facebook page, The Proud Inc. on Facebook. And, you know, it's really just, you can go on there and inbox me. I'll check it and I read them. And I definitely try and get back to everybody. The thing with Proud is that when I started it, you know, I was so active and there was a vigor in me to really just be a voice for parents who didn't have a voice, especially because at the time I was doing reality TV and I was so just kind of, I wasn't sure I wanted to share my story because that's sacred. It's very private, you know, it's your child. But I'm so happy that I did because I ended up getting all this new traffic of mothers, young mothers who have children on the spectrum. But when I tell you, I learned from them and they motivated me because there are parents out there that have not one. I only have one, but two and three children on the spectrum. And I didn't even know that that was possible, you know, man. And so, so I established Proud to just be a voice. And they said, thank you just for using your platform just to be a voice for those of us that don't have a voice.
Yeah.
So Zach was really little and I had done a few concerts and a few of my musical peers came and we did some fundraising and, you know, like I said, one of them being Donnell at one of them and something I did for parents, like a mixer to just like a let your hair down, you know, after five for special needs parents. It was so cool, but I haven't done any events in a while because I'll be honest, I went through a hard time. I went through a hard time for a while. Mm-hmm. And this is my child walking in. And things got real, you know? It got tough. Mm. It got tough. And his dad and I separated and I was a single mom and thank God I had my mom, but it just got hard. And so okay, thank you, Zach. You can turn it off. You can hang up. I just kind of gave up. Mm. Thank you. Close the door, bud. And
I love seeing all of this. I love to see you having an interview.
I'm looking at him like,
child, this is what
mother- with the iPad. But I understand what was just happening. That was my sister's voice. So auntie called because auntie can't get through. She's trying to figure out where is your mother. She's just making sure everything's good. We're good over here. Yes. She knows I do interviews and stuff here and there. So she, but if she can't reach me, she'll FaceTime. It takes a village. So yeah. Anyway, it was. I got discouraged, and that's not to discourage anyone, but I just like to be as transparent as possible because I don't want to be up here like it's so easy because it's not always easy. It gets tough, and I got a little discouraged at the time, but I'm back now. I'm rejuvenated, so Proud is going to do some great things in the future. We're planning to do Proud in the Park here in Georgia at some point, and I have some folks out in Vegas that I've been consulting with to do something grand in Las Vegas, my hometown, for special needs because I haven't done that and they deserve it. So at least I'm starting with the book. I'm going to be in Vegas this fall and I'm going to do, I've done so far book signing in Tampa, Florida, here in Atlanta, of course, and then Vegas is up next. So I'm really excited about that.
So where can people purchase the book?
Zach's so the book, yes, thank you in advance for those that have already purchased. Thank y'all so much for the support. So it's only online right now, but it will be in stores. When I do in stores, they're always in store for me to sign for you, you know, a signed copy. But you can go to barnesandnobles.com and purchase it online. And also, of course, Amazon. I know we got some primers out there who love their Amazon. So it's also on Amazon. But you have to, on Amazon, you have to type it in Zach's Favorite Socks book.
Got it.
Favorite Socks book on Amazon. So, yeah, it's on Amazon.com, Zach's Favorite Socks book, and BarnesandNobles.com, and type in Zach's Favorite Socks. Yes.
Got it. Well, everyone, make sure that you go out online and purchase Zach's Favorite Socks. And if you're looking for more information, a village of people, a parent who are navigating the world of mothering or parenting a child with developmental delays, please make sure that you reach out to Proud on Facebook. What's up next with 702? One quick question too. Is Irish still in the group? Because I've seen you performing, but I haven't seen her performing with you.
Yes, unfortunately, Irish is not well right now. Just trying to, you know, deal with some personal issues. She's not in the hospital or anything like that. She just needed to take a break, you know, take a moment. She's not replaced. She's not out of the group. There is no replacement. You know, I'm not into that. I just always, especially at this age and stage in life, I always feel like there can never be another either one of us. Like, we've been doing this too long. So she's not out the group. That's for certain. She's just kind of taking like a mental health break. That's what I mean when I say not well. Just kind of dealing with some mental health, wanting to rejuvenate.
It happens. Yes.
And I'm glad. Listen, you heard what I just said. It definitely happens. I'm like, I wasn't well for a minute. I needed to take a break and sit down and put proud on pause.
Yes.
And be a real mom, you know?
You have to do that from time to time. You have to disconnect and make sure that your mental space is healthy enough so that you can show up successfully. But the fans were here for it. They were cheering you on when you were performing at Carnegie Hall recently.
Yes, it was so awesome. Thank you. Yes, it was. Man, I'm still pinching myself. Like, that was a pinch me moment for sure. I was just like, oh my God. Carnegie Hall is such a huge deal to me. Like, that's a career highlight. Like, you know, I'm like, underrated where? Excuse me? I was at Carnegie Hall. Like,
one of my friends.
But like, that's huge. Like, we weren't even allowed to perform there as Black folks, right? Like, at one point. You know? Mm-hmm. So, I'm like, that to me, like, it resonated. Like, I'm like, my grandmother and my mother watching me from heaven and, you know, all of our, you know, ancestors, like, chocolate brown me is on the stage. You know, so it was awesome. That was so fun. And we did Usher's Lovers and Friends Festival, which is super huge as well. And I mean, this is only his second year doing it, and we were invited this year, and gosh, the turnout was so awesome. Oh my gosh, it was amazing just to see all those people out there that they showed up for us, and they knew all the lyrics, and they were on their feet the whole time. And it was just it's a great feeling, you know.
I have a message for you, because one of my friends, she was seated in the audience at Carnegie Hall. And when she found out that I was having a conversation with you today, she said, please tell Mila that she gave me life.
Oh, thank you. So I said, thank you, girl, because I was stressed out leading up to it. I was so nervous.
She was just like, you look amazing. Your outfit.
Thank you. There's such a backstory with all that, but thank you so much. We will leave it in the closet. Gosh, I'm like, if these people knew the behind the scenes, woo! Thank you. Thank you. Tell your friend thank you so much. That makes me feel so great, because it was, you know, as females, we go through a lot just trying to prepare for things. And, you know, I'm coming out of a really dark place from losing my mother. And I had a hard time at the top of the year. So now, with God blessing me with all of these blessings, with 702 being super busy, and I'm so grateful, you know. I'm grateful to God, because I know it's him and my mom up there like, all right, let me put her on the road, back on the road. So tell her, thank you, honey. I'm trying to continue to get my life.
Yes, we just have another angel that is standing right beside you, rooting you on, and, you know, continuing to help God order your steps. So, thank you for being authentic. Thank you for being unapologetically true. Thank you for sharing your challenges with us, because we need to show the world that we as women, sometimes we could take off the cape. We're real. We have real issues. But yet and still, you know, we have to rest for a moment, and then we can get right back in the race.
That's right. That's right. And that's what our sister Iris is doing. She's just taking a pause and get right back in the race, you know, and that's necessary. And just so y'all know, for the record, she is not out the group. I want to make that clear. And if you do see a temporary replacement, that's what it would be. Temporary. But right now, like, we are so good. LaMisha and I are grateful that we're able to do it, you know, with just the two of us, and we pray that we can continue. And we're just happy that y'all are happy to see us, you know. We just want to bless the people.
Blessing the people you are. So, like I had a story about my friend in the audience at Carnegie Hall. My daughter and I, who's 28, we are blasting your music.
She also wanted me to tell you hello.
You've touched so many people, Mila, and I really just want you to understand that. Continue blessings, my queen, my sister. You are absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I needed you today. Thank you. I really did. I'm still, and God bless you, because this grief thing, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I would not wish this thing on anyone. So God bless you, and condolences again.
Thank you.
Yes. So
you take care and continue blessing.
Thank you. Same to you. Yes, being that my son has barged in my room, I guess that's my cue. So, and wait a minute, that's what mommy gets because I usually lock the door when I'm doing interviews. I forgot today. So, anywho, but yes, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Amazing, amazing conversation. I loved it. I absolutely love talking to individuals who aren't afraid to have real conversations. I'm struggling. I'm in the middle of mourning. I needed to take a mental break. I needed to sit down. I was navigating through some issues. I broke up with my man, but you know, we're still parenting. I love that she shared it all with us because these are the type of conversations that we need to hear. And this is the purpose of Sonya On Air, to unpack celebrity pivotal moments and milestones. And she unpacked them all. Oftentimes as celebrities, you look at them and you just see them performing for you on television or on the movie screens, or you hear their music coming through the speakers when you're in the car or in your home. And you kind of dehumanize them as if they don't have any feelings, as if they are so far removed from the human experience like us. They put on their pants the same way you and I do, one leg at a time. So this is why you all need to stay tuned into Sonya On Air so that you can understand these celebrities a lot better. I'm having the conversations that a lot of platforms aren't, or sometimes even the celebrities aren't even starting themselves, because sometimes you all ain't even checking for it. You want something that's salacious, and this is not what we do here at Sonya On Air. So do me a favor, once again, make sure that you subscribe to Sonya On Air, which streams across every major streaming platform. If you are watching this on YouTube, not only subscribe, but make sure that you hit the notification button. And you saw the commercials previously. If you're looking to promote your brand on a digital billboard, make sure that you email me at Sonya@SonyaOnAir.net. Looking for some amazing merchandise, Sonya On Air has some empowering merchandise for you. Make a statement. You don't have to talk. The clothing will speak for itself. So make sure that you look for the Sonya On Air merch in the description section of this episode and get your shop on. What else do I have? So I talked about the billboard. I talked about the Sonya On Air merch. Also, shop Instacart using the special Sonya On Air link. And I think that's all that I have for you. You know, I had some other questions planned for Mila, but I said, let me just let this conversation just take on a life of its own. I said, God, just use me. God, just use me. And I'm glad to say that I had a very nice conversation. So 702 is here to stay. 20-something years in the game. Grown women like me are still singing the songs. Our children are singing the songs. You're making these videos on TikTok. Keep this group alive and well so that the generations coming up next, they can also enjoy the music of 702. Because you don't know the pain that I feel. Second time in the show. Anyway, this has been another amazing edition of Sonya On Air. Thank you so much for tuning in. Smooches, dolls. Take care.